during this Advent season, we've looked at a God who wants us to know Him. Now, this is not a God that we can just discover on our own or figure out or fully understand. It is a God who reveals Himself to us, who allows us to know Him. And I hope we've seen that God's self-revelation comes in many forms. God speaks to us, and He acts on our behalf, and He leads us. And as we've gone through the Advent season again, our backdrop for the altar has developed to show those things. And what I hope that we've seen in God speaking and His acting and His leading, and now today His dwelling with us, is that these revelations of God are not abstract or out there or distant. They're very specific and clear, and ultimately they are embodied in Jesus the Christ, who allows us to see God clearly. This morning we celebrate and think about that we have a God who dwells with us, who dwells with His people. And I think we see that in the Exodus story, and I think we see that we're going to look at how we see that in our own lives. How does God dwell with us? So first, a little bit of time in Exodus 33, and we need a little background for this story. Because we've been talking about the book of Exodus, but we've skipped over a little bit. We've seen so far how the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt and they were oppressed, and God spoke to Moses. And through the plagues and through the parting of the Red Sea, God delivered them, liberated them from their slavery, and is guiding them through the desert into the promised land. And once they get out into the desert, away from Egypt and the Egyptians, God invites these people into a covenant relationship with Him. And God says to them, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Do you want this? Do you want to be my people? And the people say, well, He's delivered us from slavery in Egypt. Yes, we want to be your people. We'll listen to you. We'll obey whatever you say. We want to live in the promised land with you. And so Moses goes up on top of this mountain, Mount Sinai, with God. And God is giving Moses instruction for how they are going to be this people. This is what it means to be God's people. And he's gone for a few weeks. And in that time, the people get a little anxious. They start to wonder, maybe God and Moses have abandoned us. They're used to having these gods they can see and hold. And so what they do is they make this golden cow. And they say, this is the God who brought you out of Egypt. See, he's here with you in this golden cow. And when Moses comes down from the mountain, after getting all these instructions for how God is going to dwell with this people, he comes upon the people worshiping this golden cow. And you can imagine that he's a little upset by this, and so is God. And so God says to Moses, I will not dwell with these people. I will continue, I'll send an angel to lead you into the promised land, and I'll continue in this tent outside of your camp, but I will not dwell in your midst, because I am holy. I'm a holy God. And to understand that, I think we need to take a few minutes just to think about God's holiness and what that means, because we don't talk about God's holiness a whole lot. We don't tend to in church. It is not a minor thing for a holy God to dwell with people who are sinful, who don't listen to Him, who disobey, who worship other things. It's not a minor thing for God to dwell with us. We're pretty used to kind of a buddy-buddy God. You can see up here in the movie Dogma, if you've seen that movie, there's kind of a joke that runs through it, and it's funny because it's true. They have this buddy Jesus, who you can see Him kind of giving the thumbs up and pointing and winking, and that's kind of the God we think about a lot. This God who's just there to be our friend and our pal. But the God of the Scriptures is also called a consuming fire. So our God is a consuming fire, which means that God is so pure, so loving, so immeasurably good, that when sin or hatred or evil come in that presence, they're consumed by God's goodness and purity and love. And that must be respected. In verse 5 of chapter 33, after the Lord comes upon the people worshiping this golden cow, it says, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I should go among you, I would consume you. because God is so good and pure and loving and holy. And that's where this term we have in the Scriptures, the fear of the Lord, comes from. That we don't just toy around or mess around or take for granted God's goodness and love and purity, His holiness. This past week I had to change a battery in one of our cars. And batteries are good things. They're powerful things, aren't they? They allow us to start our cars. They run the whole computer system and all that, or allow that to run. They're powerful things. But as I went to put as I got the battery in my hand, I looked at it, and all over this whole car battery are warnings and cautions, right? Like you can't even tell it's a battery. You just have warning signs all over. And I looked at those and I thought, that's kind of the idea with the fear of the Lord and God's holiness. It is a powerful thing. It is God's holiness and His power and purity and goodness that delivers the people out of Egypt. And those car batteries, they're good when they power our cars. But they're not good when you just mess around with them and take it for granted and take that power for granted. Because that holiness can turn into a consuming fire really fast. And God says to the people, look, you guys are playing with fire. And so I'm going to keep my distance so that you don't get burned. But Moses has experienced God's holiness and God's glory. He's had the opportunity to encounter God at the burning bush and to speak with God on a personal level. And Moses knows that Israel needs God's presence to be with them. And that's our passage in Exodus 33 this morning. It's Moses' prayer to God. He says to God, he doesn't diminish God's holiness. He doesn't say, we deserve you, or we're really not that bad. He says, God, we need you. You've called us to be your people. You've chosen us. You've shown us grace. And you've given us this purpose. You want us, you want the world to look at us and get a picture of your goodness and your glory and your compassion and your love. And we cannot do that unless you are in our midst. Unless your presence and your holiness and your glory are fully dwelling among us. Verse 14, God promises, my presence will go with you. I will give you rest. And Moses says, if your presence will not go, don't even bother. Don't carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth. Only if you are dwelling in our midst will we be able to do what you've called us to do. Reflect your glory to the world. God says, I will. And the rest of the Exodus, the book of Exodus, is instructions for how that's going to happen. Because again, God is holy. And so the rest of the Exodus is about them building a tabernacle where God can dwell in His holiness and glory. And priests who can go between the people and their God. And sacrifices. And all of these things are to ensure that Israel never forgets that God is holy. Never takes for granted that a holy God is dwelling in their midst. That's what the rest of Exodus is about. Making sure people remember this lesson of God's holiness. So what about our stories? Our lives? If this is some of these are some of the lessons we learned from Exodus, how does that impact us and Christmas and God dwelling with us? Well, I think what we learn very clearly from Moses and this story in Exodus 33, is that we absolutely need a God who is fully present, who is dwelling with us. I think many of us are content with a distant God. A distant God is safer, tamer, less intrusive. I think a lot of us would be perfectly happy with God's arrangement with Israel in Exodus 33. Great. God's freed us from Egypt, and He's on the outskirts of the camp, not too close for comfort. We're good with that. We'll just enjoy God's blessings and keep Him on the outskirts of life. I think a lot of times we want God to get us out of our jams, and then just let us enjoy His blessings on our own. Leave us alone. We're happy to settle for less than God's full presence with us. But that's because many of us have never experienced, like Moses, God's holiness and His glory up close. And when we have experienced that, we cannot settle for anything less than God dwelling inside of us in the center of our lives. C.S. Lewis has a famous quote from a book he wrote called The Weight of Glory. He says, "We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." And I think that's true. We often toy around with the blessings that God gives us and are content to keep God on the outskirts of our lives. We come to church, at least every so often. We read the Bible, maybe just to read it. Maybe we even get involved in the church. And if we do all those things, we'll get through life. We'll have some good memories. We'll enjoy life's little blessings. But you will not be who you were created to be. A reflection of God's glory to the world. For that, you need a God who dwells with you in the center of your life. Unless God's holiness and glory are melting away the trivialities and the sins and the normalness of our lives, we will not be the people that God created us to be. We won't be the community that God called us to be. Having a holy and glorious God that dwells with us is a scary thing. And that's why many of us don't really want to deal with it. It's challenging. It's risky. I don't know what in my life God's holiness is going to melt away next. I don't know what God has in store for me. I don't know where God is going to take me. I don't know the kind of people that God is going to call me to reflect His love to. But I'm tired of hearing people think that living life to the fullest means going skydiving. Jesus wants to give us abundant life, to allow us to live life to the fullest. And that means that we are living life indwelt by a holy and glorious God, the fullness of His presence inside of us. And that is why Jesus came, not just to speak and act and lead, but to dwell with us. Jesus is the reflection of God's glory. Jesus is the Holy One who came to be present and to dwell with us. And that problem with the Holy God, that is why He died on a cross for us. So that we could dwell with a Holy God and not be consumed. And He did this because God is not just holy, God is love. And when God's holiness and His glory are wrapped in love, that fire doesn't consume us. It melts away at our lesser lives. It refines us so that we can be beautiful masterpieces, displaying God's glory for all to see. It's only then, only when God is dwelling inside of us through Jesus and His Spirit, only then will people be able to look at us and see a loving and powerful and compassionate and holy God who wants to dwell in and with them too. Christmas is about a God who wants to show His love for us and show us who He is by dwelling with us, not on the outskirts of our lives, right in the center. The dwelling of Jesus among us means the melting away of the clouds of sin and sadness. It drives the dark of doubt away. It is the full presence of the speaking, acting, leading, indwelling Christ that allows us to know God and allows the world to know God through us. It is the presence of the indwelling Christ that makes every bit of difference between lives that are settling for less that are settling for trivialities and momentary pleasures, and lives that are engaged in the wonderful and eternal adventure of reflecting God's glory to the world. Show us your glory, God. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, Lord, were it not for your grace and your love, we might be consumed by your holiness. Forgive us for when we take your holiness for granted. But Lord, we know that we need your presence in us and with us. And so I pray that we would be able to approach you in your love and your grace and through your sacrifice, and have you living and dwelling right in the center of our lives. Help us to come to you with that faith and see the difference that your presence makes. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.